Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Flying Fish. If you've known me any period of time or ever met with me, there's a good chance you've met with me at a place called Flying Fish. Sometimes I start there for breakfast and don't leave till the afternoon. Back-to-back appointments, and we'll talk about that a little later. I did a little research on what a flying fish is, and if you do a Google search, not now, of course, especially if you're out there driving somewhere, but if you do a Google search of flying fish, you'll discover that they're good fish to eat, and their aerial talents help them to avoid their predators, which are mainly tuna, mackerel, and dolphins. So these flying fish are long, slender fish, and they swim, and when they're under attack, they will go through the surface of the water. They have pectoral fins that extend like wings, and they literally glide through the air until they drop back down into the water, get another burst, and shoot back up. And you say, well, but couldn't the fish come out and nab them like, you know, sharks do? Sea lions, they don't tend to do that. Maybe they could, but it gives them a way of escape. They have a way to flee their foe. So today I'd like to talk to you about being a flying fish. And I'd like to start in Proverbs 1, if you could turn there. So before I talk to you about fleeing from whatever God says to flee from, I'm going to read you a few verses about people who don't flee from, but they flee to. Jump in here, Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And we'll come back to this greedy for gain, because America's epidemic with this. You say, well, I'm not in the Bible. We're all over the Bible. Money, 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 money. I won't sing it, just to keep everybody happy. Proverbs chapter 6, a few pages over. And we may come back to this, so look down verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. So a lot of Christians go, oh, such and such things are an abomination. You might just get lucky and make the abomination list today. These six things, yea, seven, are an abomination. A proud look. Anybody want to say they got included yet? We're just on number one. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Look at 18. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. You sit around and dream up evil stuff and then run to that as though that's what life is about. Now, just before we get out of Proverbs 6, go back up, and this will begin kind of our shift to getting away from this, not running to it. Verse 5, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. So now in this context, he's talking about something's not right, so get away like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. What does a hunter do? A hunter hides, connives, tries to, you know, not be downwind, do all these things, put urine on things, you know, whatever all that is. I'm not familiar, but I've heard about that. So, you know, all these things to try to entice. But yet when the deer hears or sees you, what do? They run for their lives, literally. Or like a bird from the hand of the fowler, someone trying to trap a bird. At some point, you have to get it in your head that the enemy is after you, is after me. They set traps. They do whatever they can to snare us, to snag us, to get us to do whatever they want to do. And every once in a while, we get picked off. It doesn't mean you end up in hell if you're a Christian, but your life certainly is more hell than it was. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. And I don't have time to read this whole first part of Isaiah, but it's describing God's people. They don't listen anymore. Their iniquities have separated them from their God. I mean, it's not a good situation. But Isaiah 59, verse 7, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Your whole life could be consumed with that. Go to Romans chapter 3, something very similar to this, these quotes here in Romans chapter 3. New Testament, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Every once in a while, some politician will say that he's never had to ask God for forgiveness for anything. I sure hope that works out for him. That's not a good place to be. If you've never had to ask God for forgiveness for anything, you're not going to make it. Because the book said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Not the kind of person you want to be described as. Okay, so those are people that run to evil. They don't flee from evil, they run to evil. And you don't have to turn here necessarily, but we've talked recently about James chapter 4, 7, where it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So some people don't flee from evil, they run to evil. We can submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and then he flees from us. But there are situations where the fleeing is done by us. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You say, well, is it fight or flight? Sometimes it is stand and fight. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. But we end up, listen to me, you end up in a lot of situations where you are standing and fighting because you didn't flee when you had a chance. And now you're stuck in a situation where you got to figure it out and fight your way out. And it was not necessary if you weren't there in the first place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. You may have the word expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So he gets into some pretty practical stuff. You say, well, why do you talk about sex and these things? Because they're in the Bible, and this is where people live. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Now some people start arguing, saying, oh, well, that's certainly not including me because I didn't pick up a harlot. I'm just sleeping with my girlfriend. Well, that's brilliant. Except it includes you. He takes the extreme example of a harlot, but anyone you hook up with and sleep with, have sex with, you become one with that person. So there's pieces of you maybe all over the planet. You wonder why you feel so scattered? It may be that. Shall I then take the members of Christ, make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Look what he says, straight up the word, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You are sinning against your body. Every other sin, he says, it's outside your body, but when it's sexual immorality, it is sinning against yourself, your own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? What does that mean? You can't just go doing what you want to do with your body, with my body. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you say, well, this is hard stuff. This is tough. I understand it. People struggle. It's real. It's every day. It's our lives. But if someone doesn't warn you that you need to flee this stuff, then when the consequences of it hit you, you go, well, why didn't somebody tell me it was all fun at the moment, but now it's complicated. I got problems. And literally, you end up with STDs. You end up with children you didn't intend to have. You end up with heart issues, anger issues, jealousy, bitterness, confusion. It's just sin gets in the middle of something that God intended for good and blows the whole thing up. When do you know it's time to get out? The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, I'm telling you, you got flea mechanism. And he will say, get out of here. Get out of here. So there's one flea. A lot of fleas in the Bible. That's why you have to protect yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's jump in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now he's talking about in the Old Testament, Moses leading the people out. There was a cloud, pillar of fire by day, cloud, you know, all this stuff he's describing from their experience. We're under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So now Christ is mentioned in connection with the people leaving Egypt to the promised land. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. So remember this term, idolaters. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell or died. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So all this stuff happened, and it's written down so that we can pay attention and say that idolatry, complaining, sexual immorality, whatever it may be that's gone on, is not going to work out. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, this is a very dangerous place to be. You say, I got this. I'm strong. I can handle it. I've got friends who are alcoholics. I've got friends who have been sober for 17 years in one case, and one day took one drink and started all over again. And it's catastrophic. It's okay to go down, and yes, you can get back up. But don't get cocky. Don't let him who stands take heed lest he fall. And you think, I've got it now. I don't need anybody. I've got this. And then verse 13, where I describe the exit sign. Now get this in your head if you can. This could save your life. This is the first verse I was shown as a young believer and memorized. I can't remember what it says right now, but I memorized it. 1 Corinthians 13. Now look at this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So number one, you are never tempted and never will be tempted by anything that is not common to everybody on the planet. So don't be thinking, oh, I've got some special little sin. No one's ever even heard of it. Not likely. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You have temptation protection. Amen. You will never be tempted. There are certain areas I go, why does that never happen to me? Because God knows I couldn't take it. It's built-in protection. God is faithful, not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when the temptation hits, you look for the exit sign. There is always, listen to me, listen to what it says. There is always a way out. You may not take the way out, but he promises and guarantees you are not being overtaken with something that's not common. It's never going to be more than you can stand. And even when it hits, there's an exit sign. Look for the exit and run for the exit. Keep going here. That was just the verse 13. So he said that. Therefore, because of what he just said, my beloved, Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The enemy puts something in front of you and says, this is going to fix it. Worship this. And then we lose our lives, giving it over to something that doesn't even matter. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, if I haven't hit anybody yet, this is going to be a whooping. So I'm just warning you, if you need to slip out, go to the bathroom and stay there till it's over, I get that. But this is not going to get fun, I can assure you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. That by itself is a statement in itself. Godliness with contentment. Do you have enough? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, and by the way, that is the list, two items. You say, well, my translation should have housing. It's not in there. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You say, well, that's not enough for me. And that's the problem. That's the whole point. I need more. And where did you get that? You say, well, it's just basic stuff. If all you had was food and clothing, could you be content with that? But those who desire to be rich, straight up, that's what you're about, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That does not sound like a great outcome of being rich. Now, did I say it is wrong to be rich? That's not what it says. If you're rich and you can handle it, that's one thing. But people just say, my whole life's goal, I know a man today, his goal is to make $1 billion. It is going to destroy him. Destroy him. It is destroying him because he will do anything to achieve that goal. And then verse 10 that gets misquoted all the time. For the love of money, it does not say that money, it says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That could be tons of people in this room and listening beyond here. The love of money, you've chased after money, and what has happened? You've strayed from the faith. Greediness pierced yourselves with many sorrows. Now look at the context, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things. What are these things? Chasing after money, the love of money, greediness, more, 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 more. He says, get away from that, run from that. When you even smell it in the air, get away. You, O man of God, flee these things. Now it's interesting. It doesn't just say here to flee something. It says when you run from it, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So, well, I just run. Where do I run? You run from things that will destroy you to things that will save you. So you're not just running out there and then standing around like, well, now what do I do? You run from these things and you pursue, you chase after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So would that characterize your life? Now, by the way, if you're chasing that list of things, there's a good chance you're not going to get sucked in by these other things. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. And he's not done yet. Command those, he goes back to it again after the amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Stop trusting your money. You can go back over the last 20, 30 years and people who trust in their money, the market crashes, they lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in a moment. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. This is so simple, but it's so hard to preach in America because we're all addicted to ourselves, to our stuff, our money, who we are, what we've got. Finally, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the last flea of the flea-infested book. Similar, but a little broader in scope here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And here he says, Paul says to Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but pursue again. He says it again, same guy he's writing to. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Why do you flee? So that you don't get taken captive by the devil to end up doing his will instead of fleeing the sin and being taken captive by God himself to do his will. You end up just being some kind of prisoner of war because you wouldn't flee, you wouldn't get out.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let me go back to flying fish. The other day, I met with John, who runs the national radio ministry, and I had a meeting over there, and I had a luncheon somewhere else, so I met him over there at about 2 when the business had slowed down. So I've been going there a long time. I know all the managers. I know all the owners. I know everybody in the kitchen. The other day, Edgar, great young man, young, married. He comes out. There's nobody in the restaurant, the two of us and the help. And he walks out, and he's kind of hovering, talking. I pulled a chair. He sat down. And so I started asking him some questions, and he started answering the questions. And you could tell God was just on this young man, 20-something years old. So I realized, and John realized, I'm sure he's sitting over there praying, and I kept talking to him through the process and what he believed and what was going on. And I explained to him that Jesus died on the cross for him, was buried, raised from the dead, and he knew about all these things. And I said to him, I said, Edgar, if you went back into the kitchen and got a trash bag or something, and you brought it out here, and I put it over your head, not violently, and just kind of sealed it around your neck, would that be a problem? And he said, well, of course. I said, why is that a problem? Because it is possible to be surrounded by air, but if you can't get any air, you're done. I said, so Edgar, what's happened to you so far is that God has been all over you, all around you. You can feel almost atmospherically God around your life. But I said, there's a difference in having God around you and having God in you. I said, would you be interested in having God live in you? And he said, I would. The three of us sat there, quietness of that little restaurant, and Edgar prayed. Comes up sobbing, tears in his eyes, couldn't stop hugging us, and his whole life changed. What comes with that is the capacity to flee as well, and the power to say no to sin and yes to God. So I'm telling you, within milliseconds after we prayed, I looked over at the front door, and one of the owners is one of the finest Christians you'll ever meet, Larry, walks through the door. And we all stood up, and I said, Edgar, tell Larry what just happened. And Larry grabbed him around the neck before he could ever get the words out and started hugging on this young man and told him that he loved him. He knew what had happened. He could see it in his face. And Edgar told him anyway. Turning people from darkness to light, from death to life, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and then helping us understand that there is a way out of these situations. Who'd ever thought God would make a fish that could fly? You have a way out when the enemy comes after you. Use the mechanism. Flee. Get out of there. Because it's a real enemy, and the mission statement is not changed. Steal, kill, destroy. That is what they are after in your life.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.